Would you join with me in a word of prayer before we dig in to God's Word? God, thank you for this celebration. Thank you for everybody that just shared. Thank you for the joy. Thank you that we can offer ourselves to you. Thank you that you came, that you could have looked afar off and said, ah, what a pity, humanity failed. Guess we'll have to try again. Lord, you decided to be a Savior, to be just and justifier. God, you decided to come and take on humanity on yourself. Broken, frail, painful, suffering. Lord, thank you for that gift. No gift we could ever offer you compares. But Lord, we offer this time. We offer our lives. We offer ourselves. Lord, this Christmas, tonight, would you enlighten our hearts? Some for the first time, some for the 100th time. But Lord, may we know what Christmas is truly all about. In Jesus' name, amen. This does seem like an odd season to celebrate Christmas, isn't it? You think about this. We celebrate Christmas with what? Lights, bright decorations, wreaths. Yeah, things that like pop with life and light, and we're surrounded by dead trees and very little light. Have you ever realized that? And I'm not even going to mention how macabre this is, that we chop a tree down and let it rot in our living room and we decorate its corpse while it's going. No, I'm not even going to mention that. And it also overlaps with Hanukkah, the festival of lights. It's strange that we have, in the darkest time of the year, just a couple days ago was winter solstice. Shortest day of the year, which, by the way, in 2020, that's actually a really good thing, isn't it? But it's the shortest day of the year when we have the least amount of light. And yet now, right now, is when we are celebrating light. Now pause, wait a second. Isn't that something that we're supposed to be doing in the summer when we actually have light? Why would we celebrate something that is absent? Why would we celebrate that? Well, I think we get a little bit of a hint from the passage that Eric read. We're going to begin a little bit earlier in the book of John. If you got a Bible, go ahead and open that. Otherwise, it's going to be up on the screen. Feel free to follow along there. And hear what John says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Sarah, as you just made mention of in your songs, even the gifts that they brought to him were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. We celebrate the light because it's in the darkness that we need light the most, isn't it? We don't need candles or lamps during the daylight, do we? It doesn't do much good unless it's one of those scented candles. And then it's just a smell. It's not the light that we need. We need light in darkness. It's for darkness that lights were made. It's during this time of year that so many experience what is actually known as seasonal affect disorder, SAD, where the lack of sunlight really starts to mess with our minds and in our emotional state eventually. The low levels of sunlight, they impact our metabolism of vitamin D, which is supposed to affect your mood. It changes your serotonin and melatonin, which are two brain chemicals that change your mood and even your sleeping patterns. Your circadian rhythm is all off. You're not getting the sleep you should. Everything else is going haywire. So your emotional state is absolutely insane. It's seasonal affect disorder because of one change. Light. See, in so many ways, our health is dependent on our interaction with light. In fact, if you don't have light, you don't have life, period. Imagine plants without light. It doesn't happen. If we don't have plants, we don't have animals that eat the plants. We don't have the animals to hunt and then eat. And we don't have food. We die. There is no life without light. We need light. Now, there's a a small town, and it's in Norway, so pardon me if I mispronounce it, but it's Rjukan, I believe. And they are in the narrow valley of the Vestfjord Valley, where the mountains are so high around it that for a majority of the year, over half of the year, they are in a permanent shadow. No sunlight, no direct sunlight year-round because of their location. But that all changed in 2013 because they installed mega mirrors on top of one of the mountains to reflect sunlight down for about 1,800 square feet section in the center of town so that at least you can go there and get a little bit of sunlight. They were realizing people in the town were just going absolutely depressed and suicide rates high. Everything else, they were so down. Well, it totally changed because of that. Light. In the beginning, John begins this passage with a familiar phrase to any Jewish reader or anybody who's familiar with the Bible. In the beginning, what other book begins with that phrase? Genesis, where in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." That was the first thing God ever did. He created the heavens and the earth, and then he said, "Let there be light." In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And light burst forth on every horizon, showing the world as formless and void. It showed reality as it is. It revealed the truth. It revealed things as they truly were. That's the same in our world today, isn't it? There's been darkness on the horizon. Gray clouds forming. Storms brewing. Things that we would much rather ignore. But they're coming. The forces of light and darkness, good and evil, God and Satan, are facing against each other like never before. They're arrayed against one another, but guess what? The light is still shining. The light is still shining. The divine life that was embodied in Jesus Christ. This brought unique light to people. John talks about, he says, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He brought light into the world. Everywhere Jesus went, he was revealing truth, and part of that truth is an uncomfortable part. See, I can wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, and I think I look okay. Then I turn on the bathroom light. I turn the bathroom light back off, I'm all right. See, that's the problem with light. It reveals the truth, whether we like it or not. And see, the whole point of Christmas is offensive right off at the start because it says that we needed saving. That's why the Savior had to come. That's not a comfortable thought, is it? Boy, that just gives you, warms the cockles of your heart on Christmas. I'm a sinner. But if we don't understand that, we don't understand the beauty of the light. That Savior came to bring that light to our world. Just as physical light reveals the environment around us, spiritual light, the light of Christ reveals our spiritual situation. It brings awareness of our sinfulness and of God's glory. And Christ is the only light for all of creation. As a creator of all things, he alone can provide that light. That's why he says all things were made through him. He created it all. So he gets to tell us how it all works and how we live with it. People, you can turn from the light. They can close their eyes to the light and they can try to find that light in something else, but all you're going to find is more darkness because there's only one source for light in the universe. That's God. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ himself. Maybe you've been looking and maybe you've been searching and maybe Christmas this year again has found you missing underneath a tree that one thing that you think is going to fulfill your heart. But guess what? What you're looking for wasn't found underneath a tree. It was found in a manger. That's the light that we are longing for. And we can be blinded. Sin, those things that we do that are against God, whether we choose to or not, whether we do them, Those things blind us. And it is only through the one who said, "Let there be light," and the one who gave us eyes to see the light, only he can open our eyes to spiritual light. That's why Jesus came. He is the only light. The message of Christmas, the message of Christ is still effective because guess what this says at the very end? It says that it is still shining. The darkness did not overcome it. Christ's light shined in a hardened, darkened humanity. But it continues to shine. The darkness has not mastered it. No matter how strong the darkness is, it is never powerful enough to extinguish the light. Even a small light can drive it back. A little bit later tonight, these lights are going to turn off. And we're going to light those candles. And they are so small. And yet this entire room will be lit up by those small lights. Because here's the thing, even a small, weak light, darkness is far weaker than that. Because all it takes is that little bit of light to drive the darkness back. Folks, we're surrounded in a dark world, but darkness is weak if you let the light shine. It's never powerful enough to overcome light. Now this year we had a rare event, didn't we? Jupiter and Saturn. What was it called? The Star of Bethlehem, but there was a scientific term for it. I forget it. The Great Conjunction. Thank you. Which immediately I went to Schoolhouse Rock. Conjunction, junction, what's your function? And of course, in true Pennsylvania form, the entire time it happened, we had overcast skies. See, the darkness didn't overcome this conjunction at that point. It was our weather being shielded from it. And relatively speaking, the two are kind of bright in the night sky, but you put them together and they shine pretty brightly. Fortunately, I was able to see some pictures from some friends down in, like, those that went to the Dominican. You know these people. Like, they never have a cloud in their sky. I don't know how they do it down there. It's amazing. So they got good pictures and sent it to me. And you've got this beautiful, bright star in the sky. And nothing else is shining brighter than that other than the moon itself. You just have this beacon of light on a sea of darkness, speckled with stars from here and there. And it doesn't take much. You know, Jupiter and Saturn don't actually shine. They reflect. They reflect light. So it's not even their own. So specifically to you Christians, you don't have a light to shine. This is not the little light of yours. This is Christ's. And we let that shine. We reflect that light. And all it takes is reflecting that light, not even in any major form. Because when you are surrounded in darkness, guess what? That means you get to shine. That is when you truly shine. Because if you could see it, they're very small to the bare eye. But you can't focus on anything else. Just like right now, you're going to be focusing on the Santa sirens right outside instead of what I'm saying. Because if I let it get quiet enough, yeah, you can hear them. That's all it takes, is just a little bit, that little something. And all they do is reflect a small amount of light in the night sky. And it's that little bit that's possible. It's possible. I don't have a theory on this one yet. Don't say the preacher said this is what happened. It's possible that it was this exact phenomena that guided the wise men to Bethlehem. It's possible. It's also possible that God created a specific star just to make this happen. I don't know. Ask God when we get to heaven. How about that? It's possible, though. And Jesus is that type of light for us, a guiding light. And then this account of Jesus' life says this: "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." That light that currently shines in the darkness, it didn't just shine in John's day, it shines now. The darkness has not overcome it. It's Jesus Christ. And we have seen his glory. That word glory It's known as the Shekinah glory. That light in the tabernacle, the tent, the place of meeting, where God met with man, there was light shining his glory. This is Christ's divine greatness, his moral splendor, his grandeur, his light. Look, we might not be able to see Jesus today, face to face, right? Like the people who wrote, like John is talking about, like Kim, you read about. We have seen, we have heard, we have touched. We held hands with Jesus. We can't say that. But we have eyewitness accounts that have seen this light. And we get that reflection through what they are saying. We get to see a little of that glory through their eyes. As Paul said it, now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Here we get a little sliver of that light. But let's celebrate that sliver, because that lets us know there is a whole lot more where that came from. Whole lot more. Until then, we do have these eyewitness accounts of those who did see him in person and reflect that light to us. The very stories we are celebrating on Christmas. Because if it weren't for those stories, there would be no Christmas. We would be celebrating some other pagan holiday. But not only do we have their account, we have this very fact prayed for by Jesus for you. Specifically, did you know Jesus prayed for you specifically? John 17. It's the night before Jesus was going to be crucified, because that baby didn't just stay in a manger. He grew up, did miracles. And one day he faced a bloody cross for you and me. And in John 17, verse 20, it says, "My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message." Christian, that's you and me. "That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me," that glory, that light, "that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Get this part. "Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world." He says, "I want them to see my glory." One day we will, folks. One day we will see that light. Don't let the darkness fool you. Sure, it's going to be mad that the light's coming. Doesn't mean it's going to stop it. That day is coming. That's what we remember at Christmas. One of the many things. Seriously, every day for us Christians should be Christmas. Every message is a Christmas message. So I don't know what I'm preaching today different other than the day, the word, Christmas. Because that's the light of Jesus Christ. He's what we are all about. And one day we're going to go see him. I can't wait. Can you? But for now, even this poor reflection of his glory, this sliver of light, that is enough to transform us, to transform our lives. As we live in the light, as we're spending time in God's Word, as we're spending time with God's people, as we're praying with Him, which, by the way, we just read a prayer from God the Son to God the Father. If God the Son can pray, so should you. That's the light. And we shine the light all the more clearly the more we do that. As we hear Him speak to us through the Bible, as we obey what He says, He shines His light all the more to the people around us. And the light still has not been defeated by the darkness. We may see the darkness around us, but it is not by focusing on darkness that the light shines. It's not that, like, the lights, when we turn them on, have to go, "All right, where is the darkness?" No, they simply shine. They let the light out. They shine just as they always have. That is how we get the light in the darkness. Christians, shine the light this Christmas and all the year around. Not just today, not just tomorrow, not just in the next couple days until New Year's is over and then you start your New Year's resolutions. No. Every day. The darkness needs the light. Let it shine. This Christmas, every day, may we be that light, the light of Christ shining through us. May we, like that star, guide others to Christ. The choir, after I get done praying here in a moment, they're going to come up and sing a song. There's a video component to this, and I need to take a moment. There are graphic images, scenes from the Passion of the Christ. Young eyes, sensitive viewers, I would encourage you, look away. You can even walk out of the room, that's fine. But I would be remiss not to warn you of that. But we can't shy away from that, even at Christmas, because, I mean, Christmas is supposed to be this pleasant, enjoyable time. Yes, but don't forget why that baby came. We can't cut those parts out without robbing ourselves of the light of what came on Christmas. So I make no apologies, but I do give you forewarning that it is there. Our prayer is that it helps to see the light of Christ. Because here's the beauty of that light. Yes, he died for us, but that means we have eternal life. That means we get to see his glory. That means we get to spend eternity with him. Every disease over, every bit of corruption done away with. There is only righteousness, justice, and peace. That is a light worth pursuing. That's the flame that's drawing this moth. And I am willing to be consumed by it. How about you? Would you pray with me? Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of change, thank you for this time of year. Thank you that we have the hope that one day we will see your glory. That, like those who saw you when you first came, we will know you as you truly are. Lord, may this Christmas be the time that we as Christians shine the brightest. It seems the hardest right now, but Lord, that's when we need it the most. Not for anybody else's sake, but yours, Lord. You deserve that. How dare we rob you of glory by holding back the light? Lord, may we reflect that fully with all of our strength, with everything we have, with all that we've got. Lord, you are so worthy of it. Thank you for the light that shone that Christmas day. I'm not talking about the star. I'm talking about the sun that came. Lord, may that be what we reflect the world around us. That humility, that willingness to humble himself and take on our broken form to save us. Lord, I ask that this Christmas you would introduce some who are even sitting here to your son for the first time. I ask this in Jesus' name for your glory. Amen.